faith in the news media has been challenged, making it even harder to get stories told. The Friday Reporter podcast was created to help audiences better understand the media by hosting journalists who will answer the questions to which we need answers. Join me every Friday to hear more. Well, hello, and thank you so much for joining me for another episode of the Friday Reporter podcast. I'm so lucky in this town to have friends like my friend who's joined me today. Shelley Himes has now 25 amazing episodes with her own beautiful podcast called Lunch with Shelley, which in hindsight is way more fun than sitting in my spare bedroom. But COVID was COVID, right? And you seized on the opportunity once we could finally leave the house and started this beautiful program that I am just loving. And you've got so many good conversations. Shelley, thanks for being with me.
It is so my pleasure and my honor. Thank you for having me.
Well, of course. And I love that you and I, this town is so full of, we were just saying, conversations and meals together. And that's how we network. That's how we do our business. Exactly. That's how we share clients. Tell me a little bit about, before we get to lunch with Shelley, tell me a little bit about your background and how you got to Washington, D.C.
Ooh, I came to Washington, D.C. with a bunch of girlfriends from my hometown, actually, which is Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania. But I was a poli-sci major, and I happened to come to D.C. for that reason and for PR. And my girlfriends, just because it was a city rather close to Wilkes-Barre, everybody was going either to D.C. or Manhattan.
Yeah.
And so anyway, I got here, and I fell in love with the city, and I've been here ever since.
Oh, that's so awesome. So tell me, so you and I came to know each other when we were working in the Bush administration, like what
Correct.
Feels like a lifetime ago.
I know.
But you obviously had done some really amazing things even before that. So talk to me a little bit about your pathway, about your career path here in town.
Well, it was so fantastic. I started at a PR firm called Carmen and Hugel, which is now the Carmen Group. And my very dear friend, David Carmen, runs it. And that was what I wanted initially to do, was PR or some mix of PR and politics. And it happened to be a political year, and I volunteered for the H.W. Bush administration. So I'm completely aging myself. But
We're all ageless here, Shel. So don't worry about that.
Well, when he won, I was so excited because I got a job in that administration, and I started working for Jack Kemp, who I had learned about in college because one of my teachers was teaching us about enterprise zones. And myself and two other buddies thought enterprise zones was a fantastic idea, and the teacher was rather liberal and thought it was a horrible idea. And we took the B, knowing that we'd get a B, by defending enterprise zones. And so, you know, 2 years later, I came to Washington. I actually got to work for Jack Kemp. And that was amazing. And he was still promoting enterprise zones as he did until the day he died.
Yeah.
So anyway, I was in that administration working for Jack at HUD and Michael Boskin at the Council of Economic Advisors, which was housed in the old executive office building, which was amazing. So by the time I was 24 or 25, I had worked in one of the more hideous buildings,
yeah.
which is HUD, and also, you know, the White House, the old executive office building. That was amazing. And then he lost his second term, HW, and I did a bunch of stuff back in PR. And then I worked for Senator Connie Mack from Florida at the Joint Economic Committee. And I ended up being the executive director of the Joint Economic Committee. And I worked with Connie for 6 years, which was amazing. And then he retired, and then George W. ran, and I went back into the administration, and I worked for Elaine Chao at the Department of Labor. And it was all so amazing. And I did a mixture of policy and PR. But after a while, and this was after 9/11 and after anthrax and all of that stuff, I thought, I think I need to be in the private sector. I spent so much time talking about what small business owners thought and what small business owners wanted.
Yeah.
And I thought, my goodness, I should, you know, really figure that out myself.
Sure.
Or try it out myself. My father is an entrepreneur.
Right.
So I went to Burson Marsteller. And I liked that very much. And then I started my own company really rather early days comparatively.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Tell me a little bit about that business. Is this Angel Enterprises? Yeah, tell me a little bit about Angel Enterprises and the work you do there.
Angel is a public relations and special events firm, and we do a little bit of everything. Really, I think what Angel does best, particularly lately, is we do special projects. So if someone has something like a wish list that they want to take care of, some sort of a campaign or something that's not fundamental to what they're doing every day, but something special like a gala or a project or a campaign or an institute, something like that, that's where Angel really shines, because we can take it over, we can manage it, we can do the public relations for it, we can do the events for it, we can do a whole plethora of whatever is needed to make that successful.
I love that. How did you come up with the name?
It's my nickname for my son.
Okay. And I always ask because, like, it always, to me, it feels like a lot of the names and a lot of the things that are, Washington, D.C. is full of small entrepreneurs like ourselves who are doing those kinds of things. And they all have sort of a connection or a tie back to either where you've come from or your people in your little orbit. So that's so cool.
Exactly. Well, truthfully, it is the nickname of my son, and it was born in a bar with a girlfriend who has a great head on her shoulders. And I didn't want to call it Shelly Incorporated. I didn't want to call it Sam Incorporated. But the logo is the angel Gabriel, and it is a nod to angels. And I thought that would be lucky, plus I believe in angels. But everybody had a different opinion on the name, particularly at that time. Mm-hmm. I think the funniest was my father's, who said, well, when you go into an office, at least it'll be on the top of the directory because it'll be under A.
said another entrepreneur, right? Only entrepreneurs think that way. That's amazing. Exactly. And because so much of what we do here is connected, interconnected. I love that you took that great experience that you had with Jack Kemp and with all of that experience from government and then translated into this beautiful business that you now have.
Thank you.
But you and I both also share a love for great food in this town. And so I love that you have turned conversations with amazing people from all different parts of Washington, D.C. into this great, cool podcast that you have 25 episodes in. You've had journalists, you've had elected officials, you've had just people that are like influencing specific areas. Tell me a little bit about how you arrive at the different guests that you bring on the show.
Well, first of all, thank you so much for saying that. And you are going to be my guest this week. So you are absolutely included in the terribly impressive and important people that I've had the good fortune to have on. But it started this whole notion of lunch and talking to people and the appreciation that I have of lunch, aside from the fact that I wanted to do something pro small business, particularly post COVID, was the notion of it was also born out of this fantastic opportunity that I've had. I have a great girlfriend and I have been with her once a week for 22 years, like a religion.
Wow.
And I just became, and so that was once a week for 22 years. And then I just love meeting people for lunch, and you and I were probably downtown for so much of our experiences that lunch was really easy to do. And, you'd meet somebody on the corner. And I just think it's a very important time. It's a really special time. And it's a great networking experience. And Absolutely. Also in different iterations, I was single. So it's also, it's just good in a 360 degree way for meeting people in totem, strengthening your relationships, creating new relationships. So my first guest was the girl I had lunch with for so long, but then afterwards it was a smorgasbord of people because I wanted to have people on the program that I didn't really know, that I wanted to know. Like I had a girlfriend on who I had met at Pilates, and I kept running into her, and she seemed really cool. And then she came on the podcast, and she actually was super cool and has this travel blog. And
I love it.
That was really fun. And, yeah. And we had so much in common that we just, you know, we discovered on the podcast. You're right. I've had fantastic journalists. I checked out a townhouse recently for an event that Angel was doing. And the person who showed me around the townhouse was Michael Petricone, who is the EVP of the Consumer Tech Association.
Oh, cool.
And I was just like, Michael, do you want to be on my podcast? And he said, sure. And we had the most incredible conversation about AI and the Grateful Dead and being Italian and birds. I mean, it was just this really random conversation. So the choices have been sometimes more thoughtful than others, but everybody's interesting.
I love that too, because it is, number one, it's what all your friends say about you, is that you're probably one of the best networked people in this town because you have so many friends. This is a friend making business, as much as everybody seems to think that Washington is a bunch of, you know, fist punch throwers, if you will.
Cold-hearted.
But there is a lot, there's so much networking that goes on, and you're so right, especially if you have little ones at home, which you and I now don't anymore, but did at one point.
Correct.
Lunch was the easiest thing to do. Breakfast was hard because it was drop-off. Drinks would have been great, but you had to go to pick up. So in between this moment, there you could go and have like an hour and a half to visit and get to know people, or like hear about what's happening in their job and how do I parlay that into something that maybe I could be useful for, or how do I make a connection for this friend who's looking for another job? Like, so much of that happens at lunch. And that's, I mean, that's exactly what you have really built here, which is amazing. And it's fun. It's so fun to listen to.
Thank you so much. And, you know, you're 1,000% right, because the only thing I would add is even walking into lunch, you run into people.
Yeah.
Or there are people at the table next to you that you didn't even realize. I mean, there are so many uses for lunch, and you also hit the nail on the head, because you're right. In different iterations of life, it's much easier to do lunch than with children, breakfast, which is a killer. And, you know,
there was never a breakfast. I was already so tired. I was like, no way. Plus the DC traffic was a thing too, but.
Horrible. Yeah. So it's been really fun, but you had asked me, I think, prior to the program, how I did the podcast or why I started the podcast.
Yeah.
And actually I was going to do a book instead. At first, and I was going to use our mutual friend Gene as not a ghostwriter, but certainly a consultant on the project. And it became so overwhelming that, ironically, I thought podcasting would be easier. So I don't know if you'd like to comment on that, Lisa, but as it turns out, it has not been easier. It's definitely more fun and more personal, but not easier.
It's not. I wouldn't say it's easier. I also would like to write a book. It has nothing to do with politics at all. My family has heard now. I have two different ideas for books at some point.
Good.
I mean, I don't know. Yeah. But it seems daunting. I've had a lot of people on my show, as I'm sure that many of your guests have too, that have written these books. And it is like, it is a labor of love. But you could also turn every episode that you've had, because this is a snack size podcast, I like to call it, because we're about 25 to 30 minutes. You can have your coffee, or you can have a little, you know, a little tea or whatever. And then we're done after about 25, 30 minutes. And yours is really more of a little bit longer form, which you could really turn into a chat. Each one of those conversations could be a chapter in a book someday.
Well,
and that's, I mean, it's interesting. Washington is a town, you know this, people love to know more about other people, and there's not enough time. So listening into the Lunch with Shelley, I get caught up on, you know, what's going on with Howard Mortman at C-SPAN.
Right.
Like, what does Howard care about? Okay, cool. I've had him as a guest, but I only had him for like a moment in time. And so it's cool the way you've done that. I love it. And I continue to look for who your guests are, because I'm like, oh, that would be a great guest. Or it leads me to some other creative thoughts about, oh, I wouldn't have that person, but maybe this. So it's really cool to me to know that I've got another friend out here that's doing a similar kind of project, different, but similar, in that we're in the Washington networking space, and we're also giving people access to something you and I both know and love quite a bit, which is the networking thing.
On the morning of August 1st, 1966, shots ring out from the observation deck of the clock tower on the University of Texas campus. It marks the infamous beginning of the modern era of mass shootings in America.
You're listening to Stop the Killing podcast. Join us as we take you behind the crime scene tape to explain global mass shootings and mass attacks. I'm Sarah Ferris, but more importantly, this is Catherine Schweitz, the former head of the FBI's active shooter program.
I spent 5 years as the FBI's top executive looking for answers to the mass shooting crisis. I've been at the shooting scenes, I've traced heroic acts of bravery, and I've sat silently and listened to the heart-wrenching stories from survivors.
Amongst this horror, there is hope. We all hold the key to stop the killing. You just need to know how to unlock the door. Download Stop the Killing and be part of the solution. Search Stop the Killing on Apple, Spotify, and all the usual suspects.
Right, and talking to each other, you're being so terrifically kind. I would only add that the notion of my podcast is less, I wouldn't say it's less formal, but you have such a great gig going because you talk to reporters. It's very specific. You get great information from them, and you're right. You're in and you're out, and mine is a little bit more meandering, but somewhat purposefully because I wanted it to be Seinfeldian, as in I kind of wanted it to be about nothing.
I love that, and though.
Originally, when I was going to do a book, it was going to be also Seinfeldian, like Kramer was going to do the coffee table book, and it was going to be a coffee table. And my book was going to be a book about lunch and turn it into a lunch tray. Seinfeld has played a great role in this. I should someday, maybe I'll have Jerry Seinfeld on. That's my
girl
thought of the day.
He would be amazing to have. Right.
I know.
Well, we all have to have it. And remarkably, you say that now and you put it out into the universe. And
exactly.
Who knows? One guest one of these days is going to have a connection and that's going to happen. But the other the other thing, too, that I love is that you also, because of the lunch piece of this, you're also highlighting these remarkable and amazing restaurants here in Washington, D.C.
Right. Yeah.
And you're so good about that. Like, we met obviously for a preview conversation, mostly just because we hadn't seen each other. And then we were like, why don't you do my show? And you do my show. But now you have a little bit of a month long, or maybe longer than that, you have like a relationship with one of the restaurants who's actually going to benefit, it seems like, for even more opportunity to get the word out about them and the beautiful food that they make. Tell me a little bit about that.
Well, that's in the works, but we have about 9 or 10 restaurants that we're working with currently.
Okay.
And everybody has been absolutely fantastic to us. And there's a restaurant that we go to very frequently, and that restaurant is hopefully going to open a new restaurant, but I'm just being on the QT now.
Okay, it's too early to tell.
I will tell your listeners the next time, but yes, that's actually something that we'll talk about later this week. Okay. When I see you, and hopefully that'll be something we'll do in September. But the small business aspect of lunch, and you and I have had this conversation, but we're in this still crazy post-COVID world.
Yes.
And a lot of people aren't going to lunch, and a lot of people aren't going downtown. And everything that you and I described about having kids and how much easier it was to go to lunch is not entirely true anymore because people are working from home.
Yeah.
And so now lunch is sort of something that you either plan Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, if your bosses are making you go in, if you have a boss, or you have to feel like you want to get dressed, or you're going to different places that are closer to your home. So I really want to be, you know, the cheerleader for just lunch in totem. So we are definitely hoping to help a restaurant open a new restaurant. And we're also interested in just expanding our repertoire and promoting everybody that is hoping to have a bigger lunch crowd.
I love that. I love that. And that's something that's really, that's a big initiative. I mean, it's everywhere in all the different cities. So it's cool that you're doing that here in Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
What do you think is the most fun part of the project?
The people.
Yeah.
For sure. And well, actually, absolutely the people. And truthfully, some of them, most of them have been dear friends. One of them was my son and another person was my father. So absolutely, you know, family members, my favorite people in the world and people I'm still getting to know better, but I love each and every person I've had on. And I love that even though I do start to have more questions in mind as I get to become a better host, I love that the conversation meanders. And sometimes we just have, and my producer Claude and I feel the same way, we have no idea where the conversation is going to end up. And we've had some really interesting moments where we're like, gosh, do you want us to edit that out? And people are like, no, that's fine. But
like you said, one of our friends talking about how, because she travels so much, she's like buying, she has to buy like undergarments, like in the airport on her way to the next thing.
I know. And another girlfriend of mine, who's a friend, but not a terrific friend, told this crazy story about going somewhere and she thought she was going to meet her relatives. And then she took a 23andMe test and found out like 4 hours before she was getting on a plane that they weren't actually her relatives and that wasn't actually her father.
No way.
Yeah.
Whoa, that's wild.
And we were at this restaurant during lunch and we were like, what? I mean, it was crazy.
That's the coolest part about some of those things. And I'll tell you the story now. One of my book ideas is about a long lost cousin that I found through Ancestry.
Wow.
I knew she was out there.
Wait, you actually did this as a true story?
This is a true story. I mean, I would tell it as a fiction story, but I am going to write the story and I'll tell you that maybe I'll hold it for Friday when I tell you the story.
Yeah.
But I had a cousin that I knew was out there and I had no idea until I had done Ancestry and they reached out and sure enough. Anyway, it's a great story.
Do you look similar? Similarly.
I think we have some similar features. Yeah. And she's become like a dear loved friend as if we've known each other our whole life because we check in and she's connected with the whole family. But over 40 years of her life, she had no idea at all where her people were. And then my mother-in-law gave me Ancestry for my, for Christmas, like maybe 5 or 6 years ago now. I can't believe time is flying. And sure enough, a couple weeks later, after I'd done my test, I got this note from this woman. Anyway, I'll save all the details for lunch.
I think that's such a fantastic story.
And when I tell people the story, because it's such a good positive story, because it's like this cousin, this long lost cousin that looked for years for her family and had no leads, found us and also then, by the way, found the other side of her family too, subsequently, and now knows where all her people are. And it's kind of a neat, I don't know, it's a beautiful story, but yes, the Ancestry thing is neato to me. As much as people sort of worry about all of the other implications of it, I do think that if Ancestry is headed where I think they're headed, I suspect that they'll probably be turning themselves into a streaming content creator because there are so many stories like that about people that have found people or found out some uncool things, right?
Yeah, I was going to say, it gives me agita, but just don't forget you have to bring a picture. I'm going to post a picture of her. It's
a woman. Right? Yep. Yeah. Yep. I'm going to talk to her later today.
I will.
Okay. I will. I have a picture of the two of us together. In fact, with my sister too. So the three of us.
Okay.
All right. So as I talk about content, what kinds of things when you're not doing this amazing podcast and you're not having great conversations and great lunches, what other things what keeps you busy? Like, do you have any great books that you've read or any seats? Like, what's the other content that fuels your creative side?
Oh, well, I don't know if probably the thing that fuels my creative side, in addition to what you've mentioned, which you've been very kind about, is I super love to walk in the woods with my dog.
Okay.
So that really helps me. And I either listen to other podcasts like yours. I listen to Smartless. I listen to Grow the Show. I listen to a bunch of podcasts. Me too. And I also listen to a lot of music. So
awesome.
Walking in the woods is probably one of my favorite things. I love Pilates. I love my Peloton. I also love happy hour. I don't eschew happy hour at dinner. So I love all of that. And because you had asked previously, my husband and I do watch a good deal of TV because we can. And we've just been around quite a bit. So we finished Justified, which was really good.
I heard that was really good.
Have you watched that?
No, not yet.
It's really good. And because I am me, which I suppose is a long way of saying a woman of a certain age, I just have been caught up with And Just Like That. Mm-hmm. Have you seen it?
No.
Well, it's, you know, the new Sex and the City. So are you not watching it?
I haven't watched it yet. It's like it's on my list. Like I'm keeping a list of all the things people are telling me are great.
Okay. Well, the last thing I'll tell you on the list is The Lioness. There are only 3 episodes and I'm 2 in, but that was very good. But in Just Like That or the new Sex and the City or whatever you want to call it, it's really very interesting. So we should also have a conversation about this maybe on my podcast because it is updated. And the word that comes to mind is racier, but that's not exactly the right word. It's just much more explicit in a lot of different directions than I remember it being. Mm-hmm. And it's getting mixed reviews, but I personally really like it, and it's food for thought. And it's actually gotten me psyched because the outfits are still fantastic. And so now I feel like I need to up my game when I go to lunch, because I've been sort of phoning it in, you know, like you and I are both khaki pants, white blouse, kind of, you know, blazer kind
easy
of people.
Yeah,
exactly, like a uniform, a good uniform. But anyway, now I'm trying to up my game even more.
All of those, like all of the, that shirt. Whole series when that was in, it really like drove fashion. And now we've all sort of fallen out of fashion a little bit because
precisely.
We're all home.
Well, it's post-COVID. It's still
totally,
COVID.
Totally.
And so I'm taking out my heels again.
Good. Good.
Yeah.
I'm ready to wear cute shoes. I'm ready to wear a great bag. Like I'm for
exactly.
all of that.
Exactly.
Cause it makes you feel great. Like there's so many people that I follow too, that like say, just get up and get dressed, like get up, get a shower, get dressed, get going. And that's exactly. Right. And you've obviously reinvigorated that with this beautiful podcast that you have built. So as we get to the end of our conversation, which I can't believe, see, this is what happens with you when you have a snack sized podcast.
I would have had you forever. Right? I'd be much more upset if I wasn't going to see you soon.
Well, we're going to do this again Friday and I'll bring some fresh stories. As we get to the end of our conversation, is there someone you could recommend for a future episode of the podcast?
Yes, you know, and I just spoke with her and she doesn't know that I'm going to recommend her, but her name is Janet Donovan and we reconnected literally yesterday. She and I used to have lunch a lot at Cafe Milano and she now doesn't do lunch, which is bumming me out, but she does do drinks. But she owned Hollywood on the Potomac, which is a great site, newsletter. It comes in different formats. She writes a lot for the Washington Life and maybe a little bit for Washingtonian, but Hollywood on the Potomac was formed to highlight the nexus between Hollywood and Washington, which I know you intimately get and also dig like I do.
Yeah.
And so there isn't as much Hollywood coming as one would have hoped. There, you know, it ebbs and flows, but she's been in DC for a really, really long time. She knows everything about everyone and she would be very fun.
Okay. Awesome. Well, I'm going to tell her.
And please tell her I recommended her.
I will. And that's the other thing too. It's like, there's no shame in saying I can't do it or no thanks, but just as you said, people really love to be invited. And especially because this is a conversation about you, like, tell me about Shelly, tell me about Janet, tell me about who you are. People really in this town, especially, so often are telling stories about the people that they're working for and they're promoting that they very infrequently get asked about themselves. So because this is the nature of the work that you and I are doing for fun, I think people generally do like to say yes. So I'm grateful for that.
You make it very easy and very enjoyable. And I'm so glad that I got to see your face, even though this is only audio.
One of these days I'll get into the video. But the thing, I started this whole thing when I was so like over Zoom, and then it turns out Zoom sound is really better. It comes off a little bit better for the broadcast, but still I'm kind of over the screen. I'd like to see people in person. So in Friday, I'm going to do my hair and put on some real big girl clothes and I'm going to see you for lunch. But in the meantime, Shelly, thank you. Thank you so much for being a guest today.
It is absolutely my pleasure. Thank you for having me. And your show is fantastic. So best of luck with your next new year and a half or however long it's been for you, but good luck with everything.
Thank you, Shelly. Thank you so much.
And that's today's Friday Reporter podcast, a podcast in partnership with PR Daily, a tremendous and helpful guide for all things public relations. Find us there on their website and join us again for another episode soon. Thanks so much.